KQED.
From KQED Radio News, I'm Cy Musiker. Video games are becoming so popular that last year sales in the U.S. surpassed movie ticket revenue. And as their popularity increases, more players want a voice in how the games are designed.
D1 white, queen E1 white, king F1 white, bishop G1 white.
Here, an audio chess game for blind players calls out the location of chess pieces on the board. This and other games for the disabled were featured at the annual Game Developers Conference in San Francisco this week. Amy Standen has more as part of our continuing series quest, exploring local science and environmental issues.
Go, 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 go. Ah, I made it.
In a windowless conference room in San Francisco's Moscone Center, Robert Florio is playing a computer game called Strange Attractors. On the screen, a spinning ball bounces around as if in a pinball machine as Robert tries to direct it through a hoop and onto the game's next level. As he stares at the screen, Robert sips and puffs air from a thin plastic tube going into his mouth.
Well, the sip acts like the left mouse click, and that's making move the sphere, which is your character. And the puff is the exit out of the level, so it's basically hands-free.
Strange Attractors, designed for people with mobility issues, is one of the few games that Robert can play. Robert became a quadriplegic when he was 14 in a swimming pool accident. Now, at 25, he has some movement in his left arm, but he gets more control with his mouth, using what's called a sip-puff device that works like the right and left click on a mouse.
I don't care if I have to use my eyeballs or my ears. It's just having that freedom back, because games, you can do things that you no longer have the function to do, and for me, it's like an escape.
Nearly one in five Americans has some kind of disability. About half play video games, and yet the vast majority of those games are inaccessible to the disabled. There are a few tools that can be added to games to make them accessible to people like Florio, but by and large, those don't offer nearly the agility of a handheld console like the PlayStation 3. Michelle Hinn is with the International Game Developers Association.
The controllers that are available for people right now are very expensive and handmade. They're basically commercial game controllers that someone, a hobbyist, has hacked into and rerouted it so that it can work with something like a sip-puff device.
Some mainstream games could be made more accessible if game makers would just add a few simple modifications. But companies like Nintendo and Sony have showed little interest in doing that. And so, some disabled gamers are taking matters into their own hands.
Pretty much all my life, you know, since I can remember, I've been hearing impaired.
Reed Kimball is a game designer for LucasArts in San Francisco. Talking to him, you probably wouldn't notice that he has a disability, if not for the hearing aids he wears. Reed says that even though he has some hearing, the complex audio designs of most games make them hard to play.
You have these chaotic environments of, a lot of times, gunfire, explosions, and just everything thrown together just kind of overlaps one another and creates this overall noise. And it's hard for me, especially, it's hard for me to single out and focus on the dialogue.
This facility serves as the central hub for all scientific research,
attention,
archaeological study, and military.
Reed is designing a closed caption modification for the popular game Doom 3.
Welcome to Mars. First time? You can just leave your bag there. I'll have it sent up your quarters.
The sounds we're hearing are transcribed in text on the screen. There are some new technologies that could radically expand the options for seriously disabled gamers, like Robert Florio. One is biofeedback, which uses data like body temperature and pulse to make commands. Again, Michelle Hinn.
You know, if you think it, you can do it. It's basically the Jedi mind trick. It's exciting just in general. It's not just for, you know, gamers with mobility limitations. I mean, there could be some amazing stuff.
Disabled gamers would like to see these cutting-edge tools integrated into mainstream games like Legend of Zelda or Doom 3. After all, says Hinn, sooner or later, we all need help doing the things we like, including playing video games.
We are all aging every day, and, you know, as we age, of course, we lose ability. And if we can keep doing the things that we enjoy in our leisure time, even if we start losing sight or hearing, that this is now opening up the demographic to a wider age range.
For now, disabled gamers are limited in what they can play. But until new tools become common, Robert Florio is going to keep trying to persuade game companies to provide options for people like him.
I'm going to ask them, do you realize that there are people who can't use their thumbs? Why wouldn't you want to make that game accessible for them? I'm hoping they'll say, hey, you want to work with us? That'd be cool.
Florio may soon find all his campaigning start to pay off. That's partly due to a change in player demographics. Video games are no longer just the domain of teenage boys. The average player is getting older and more women are playing, especially online. As the market continues to diversify, other groups of users, such as the disabled, may find themselves with more games to choose from. For Quest, I'm Amy Standen, KQED Radio News.
Major funding for Quest is provided by the National Science Foundation, the Gordon and Betty Moore Foundation, and the Fidesz Family Foundation.